Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Kama Daf Lamed Dalet. We are holding on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, and we are at Kadmu Bali Chavos Vihigbiu toward the end of the page on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, about three lines from the end of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander and Arnav's wife and children, Lili Nishmas's mother, Golda Basimcha Shalom. Also by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should all return home safely. It is also sponsored by Jason and Shani Salzberger in honor of the bris of the son of Matthew and Naomi Salzberger, which will, Mirza Hashem, be taking place later this morning. Mazel tov to the entire mishpacha. It is also sponsored in honor of the engagement of Yisrael Leibowitz and Risa Harris by the Geitzels family of Kew Gardens. We thank them very, very much for the sponsorship. Mazel tov to our mechutanim and to my wife and to our children and everybody else. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to talk about today is the following. First, the Gemara is going to talk about why the Nizik is allowed to collect before a Baal Chov, so much so that the Tosefta we saw yesterday says that even if the Baal Chov was already Tofes, the Nizik can go and take it away from the Baal Chov. So why is that allowed? You would think that the Baal Chov has a Shibud, just like the Nizik has a Shibud. Then the Gemara is going to talk about if the value of either Shor changed after the Nezek, how does that affect the payment? Let's say the Shor of the Nizik went up in value or down in value after the payment, or the Shor of the Mazik went up in value or down in value after the payment. So how does that affect the obligation to pay? That's going to bring us all the way to the Mishnah. The Mishnah Namad Aleph is going to talk about how to calculate the payment when a shartam does damage. The pasuk is somewhat cryptic. It says that you pay v'chatzu es kaspo, but then it also says u'machras ha'shar chai v'chatzu es kaspo, but then it also says v'games ha'meis yechatzun, that you split the mace as well. So what exactly does that mean? How do we calculate the payment? It's going to be a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, how that calculation is done. The Gemara is going to elaborate on that machlokas, and is going to try to explain what the nafkamina is in that machlokas, because it seems that at the end of the day they end up getting the same amount of money anyway. So the Gemara is going to have two suggestions as to what the nafkamina might be in that machlokas, and that discussion brings us all the way to the Mishnah on Amud Beis. The Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to give us two cases where a shor that damages is going to be pater, but Adam would be chayiv had he done the same thing, and two cases where it's the reverse, that if Adam does it, he's potter, but if the shor does that same thing, then the guy would be chayiv, the baal shor would be chayiv to pay. So it's sort of like when shor is more chamor than Adam, and when Adam is more chamor than shor. So let's begin again, three lines from the end of the page, on daf lamid gimel amud beis. So the Tosefta had said, that we learned yesterday, kadmu bali chovos v'igbihu, if the bali chovos of the mazik went, and they took the shor as payment for their chov, bein chav ad shlo hizik, whether that chov preceded the nezek that the shor had done, or bein hizik ad shlo chav, or whether the nezek preceded the chov, lo asav lo klum. Either way, the bal chov is not allowed to collect, and his collection is void. The nizik is allowed to go and confiscate that shor from the bal chov. L'fishen mishalim el migufo, because the shor tam always has to pay migufo, and therefore it's a specific shibud for the payment of the nezek that the nizik is entitled to, and no one else can go and take that shibud of the shor itself. So says Gemara, well, wait, how does that make sense? Bishlam mihizik ad shlo chav. I understand very well if the nezek happened first before the chov, so then I understand why the nizik is able to take the shor from the bal chov, because nizkin kadmu, nizakin kadmu, the shibud of the nizik preceded the shibud of the malva. Aval chav ad shlo hizik, but if the chiyuv of the mazik, the chov rather preceded the hezik, so why is it that the nizik is allowed to take the shor away from the malva? Bal chov kadim, the bal chov comes first, and the shor was meshubad to the malva before it was ever meshubad to the nezek. So why should the nizik be able to collect that shor? And the Gemara just asks Vayter, va'afilu hizik ad shlo chav, and it doesn't even make perfect sense in a case where the hezik happened first. Balchov Kadim, we're going to say that the Balchov, if the Balchov went and he was tofaced the shar before the Nizik did, so why is the Nizik allowed to take it away from him? Shema Mina, if you're going to tell me he is allowed to take it away from him, which it seems you're telling me, it would lead us to a conclusion in a halacha that's subject to a machlokas, because this would lead us to the conclusion that a Balchov Mu'uchar Shekadam V'gava, that if you have a Balchov Mu'uchar that lend money to a lova after he already borrowed from other people, the Shekadam V'gava, and he comes and he takes payment first before the other Balichovos come and get payment for their alva'a, Masha Gava Lo Gava. It sounds like the collection is void, and the other Balichovos that came earlier are allowed to confiscate that money from him because their Shibud preceded his Shibud. And that's not so Pashut. It's a Sugi Masechus Ksubas Tav Sadi Dalin, where we have a Machlokas Tanayim that Benanas holds that a Balchov Mu'uchar Shekadam V'gava Masha Gava Gava, that he's allowed to collect, and I mean that which he collected, even though he's not first in line to collect, but if he jumps the line and he collects first, that he's allowed to keep that which he collected, and a Balchov Mu'uchar cannot take anything away from him, whereas the Shita of the Chamim is that the Gviyah does not work, and the Balichovos that preceded him are able to be Motzi Mereshuso. So even if you're going to talk about a case where the Hezek happened before the Chov, it still doesn't make sense that the Nizik should be able to confiscate the animal from the Balchov. The Rashba raises a question that in the Seifa by a Muad, the Brisa says that if the Balichovos were Kadam and were Gove, Masha Asa Asli, so it's Muchach the Masha Gava Gava, meaning we're trying to say that you see from this Tosefta Masha Gava Lo Gava, but from the Seifa of the very same Tosefta, the implication is Masha Gava Gava. So you suggest that when it comes to Negicha of a Muad, the Shar is considered like Metaltlin, and by Metaltlin there's no din of Kadima in the Gviya of Metaltlin. And the Kuli Alma, it's going to be Masha Gava Gava. The whole din of Kadima is only by Karka. So when it's a short time that damages, it's like an Aputiki. An Aputiki has a din of Karka. So a din of Karka, you're going to have dinim of Kadima. So the Gemara says, Lo, Liolame Malach, Masha Gava Gava. Maybe I can really tell you that typically speaking, when a Balchov Mu'uchar comes and jumps the line and takes first, the collection is valid and no one's allowed to confiscate it from him. Vishaini Hassan, but by a Balchov who collects from a Shara Mazik before the Nizik collected from the Shara Mazik, the Nizik is allowed to take it away from him to Amrle, because the Nizik can tell the Balchov, Ilu Gabach Hava, if the Shor was in your Rishus at the time of the Nezek, meaning let's say you had already collected by the time of the Nezek, Lomina Chava Gavile, wouldn't I just take it from you? So the Haitor, the Askan Minei, Mishtalamna, because it's from the Shor that damaged that I'm making the collection. I'm allowed to take the shor that did the damage. So therefore, even though you collected the shor after the nezek happened, I'm allowed to go and take it. Meaning, even if you had collected it before the nezek happened, I would have been allowed to take it, because my business is not with the owner of the shor. My business is that I own this shor now, that this is my shor, and I'm allowed to collect megufo of the shor. So it's irrelevant who the owner is. The Tosos raises the obvious question: what kind of tain is that? Meaning, had you been the owner of the shor when it did the damage to my shor, so then I would have collected from you. I would have collected it from you. So now that it did the damage while it belonged to somebody else, I'm still allowed to collect it from you. No, had I been the owner of the shor, guess what? The damage never would have happened, because I would have been shomer of the shor. I would have guarded the shor. I mean, the only reason you're allowed to collect over here is because someone didn't do a good enough job watching the shor. Had I been the owner of the shor, I would have done a good enough job watching the shor. I mean, the reason that you get to collect the shor is not because the shor is such a balavera, it's because the owner of the shor did something improper by not watching it properly. So what kind of taina? So Tulsa says, the Gemara doesn't really mean what it sounds like it's saying. And what the Gemara means to say is that there's a chilik between the shibud of a balchov in the nichse halova, where it's a general shibud on all the nechassim, versus the shibud of a nizik in a shor hamazik, where the only way to get paid is migufo shel shor. The payment is only going to be migufo, and therefore it's a stronger shibud. So my shibud, if we both have equal shibudim, and it's just a question of who came first, so then in a chinami, it would be a different story. But my shibud as the nizik is a greater shibud than your shibud as a balchov, because your shibud is spread throughout all of the nechassim of the the guy that owes you money. My shibur is targeted on this shor, and that's why I'm allowed to take it. That's what it really means, Tosfos says. Okay, so now says the Gemara is going to talk about what if the value of either shor changes after the nezek happened. So Tan Rabban, we have a price. Shor shav masayim, shor shav masayim. A $200 shor, a 200 zuz shor, gores another 200 zuz shor, v'chavol bo v'chamishim zuz. And now it's only worth 150, meaning he knocked down the price of the nizik by 50 zuz through the damage that was done. But then afterwards, the shor hanizik went up in value. V'amar al arba me'el zuz. And now it's worth more than it was ever worth before. Now it's worth 400 zuz. So the mazik is not able to say to the nizik, look, it didn't cost you anything. Apparently, the injury that your shor sustained caused it to be more motivated to work out, and it developed, whatever. And now it went up in value. No, shalmali yiziko haya omed al shmona meils zuz, because the nizik can tighten it back. I don't know. Maybe if your shor wouldn't have gored my shor, he would be worth 800 zuz today instead of 400 zuz. So kashas nezik. So no say kashas nezik. The halacha is that the mazik pays 25 zuz, which is half of the nezek assessed at the shas nezek. Meaning at the shas nezek, it went down from 200 to 150. Good, so 50 is the baseline. And since I pay chatzi nezek because it's a short time, I pay you 25. I don't care what happens afterwards. Afterwards, it goes up in value, is irrelevant. But what if kachash? What if the shor nezek went down in value after the shas nezek, and now it's only worth 100 zuz? So then kashas hamad b'din. Then we do the assessment based on a $100 decrease in value, and therefore you pay half of that, so you pay 50 zuz. Now we discuss what if the value of the mazik changes. Shavach mazik, if the shor of the mazik goes up in value after the negicha, and now it's worth 400 zuz, so the nizik cannot say to the mazik, well, as soon as your shor gored my shor, I became a shutaf in your shor, because the fact that I collect megufo means that it's half mine also, and therefore I should get half of the shevach that it went up in value as well. So nosen lo kishas hanezek. Rather, we say that you only give kishas hanezek. He only gets to collect up to half the value of the shor at the time of the nezek. But if the shor of the mazik went down in value after the negicha, and now it's only worth 100 zuz, kishas hamad b'din, then he can say to him that since you were a shutaf in this shor, mishas ha-negicha, so you lose out when my shor goes down in value, you, the nizik, lose out when my shor goes down in value, the same way I lose out when my shor goes down in value, and therefore when you're going to collect the chati nezik migufo, it's migufo of what it's worth today, not what it was worth at the shas ha-nezik. So the Gemara is now going to try to explain why all of these halachos make sense. So Amar Mar, we started off in the Brisa by saying Shavach Mazik, that if the Shor HaMazik went up in value, meaning that wasn't the first case in the Brisa, but it's the first case that we're going to discuss, that the, meaning it's really the third case in the Brisa. First we spoke about that Shavach Nizik and then Kichesh Nizik, then Shavach Mazik, then Kichesh Mazik. So on that case of Shavach Mazik, we said Kishas HaNezek. We say that the Nizik is not able to say, oh, I have a shutvus in this shor, and therefore I should be cholik in the shevach as well. Well, money, Rabbi Shmuel, he damar balchov who vizuzu demaskle. If you recall, we had a machlokes from Shmuel Rikiva. Do you actually become a shutaf? Does the nizik actually become a shutaf in the shor hamazik, or do we say no? It's just a way of assessing the value of how much you have to pay me. But it's not that I'm actually a shutaf in your shor. So the Mishnah, the Brisa seems to be assuming, like Rabbi Shmuel, that he's not actually a shutaf, because if it goes up in value, I'm not allowed to claim that the nizik shor went up in value. So ema seifa, but then it goes on to say that kachash, then it's kshas hamad b'din, that if it went down in value, the nizik takes the hit of it going down in value. Well, that's a son of Rabbi Kiva, Dharma Shutvidinu. That seems to align with Rabbi Kiva, who says that they're Shutafim. So Reish Rabbi Shmuel, Sefer Rabbi Kiva, how could it be that within one line of the Braisa, we have the first half of the line is going like Rabbi Shmuel, the second half of the line is going like Rabbi Kiva? So says Gemara, lo. You don't have to say that that's what's going on over here. Kula Rabbi Akiva, he really, the entire Braisa assumes like Rabbi Akiva, that the Nizik Taka becomes a Shutaf with the Mazik in the body of the Shor, in the actual physical Shor. And therefore, in the Seifa, where it went down in value, I get why the Nizik loses out. But Vahach Mayaskinan, What's the case of the Reisha, where if it goes up in value, the Nizik is not entitled to that Shevach at all? Kishapitmo. That's if the increase in value can easily be attributed to the Mazik fattening the Shor by giving it a lot of expensive food. So since he's the one that made the investment in that Shevach, he's the one that yields the fruits of that Shevach, that takes the fruits of that Shevach. But if it were just Stav that went up in value, then Eino Chinami, the Nizik would also be the beneficiary of that. Well, Ike Shapitmo, if the case is that the Mazik is the one that was Mefatimit, Eimer Reisha, well then now let's go back and explain the Reisha. Shavach va'amar al arba me'azuz, if the Shor of the Nizik went up in value and is now worth 400 Zuz, Nosin lo k'shas ha'nezek, we say that the Mazik has to pay based on the value at the Shas ha'nezek, and he can't say, oh, I didn't cost you anything, because look, your Shor is worth more now than it ever was before. Well, the Ike Shapitmo, if the only reason it went up in value was because the Nizik has been feeding the Shor a lot, so Tzrich LeMeimer, is that really a Chiddush that the Mazik, meaning it's obvious that the Mazik can't say, I didn't do anything to you because now your Shor is worth a lot more than it ever, meaning if I were to burn your house down and then you rebuild it more beautiful than it ever was before by investing millions and millions of dollars, I can't come and say, look, now you have a mansion, I didn't do anything to you. No, you invested in it and that's why it went up in value. Obviously I can't say such a taina. So if that's the whole case, the case is Kishapit, that it only went up in value because that party invested in it, of course you're not allowed to say that that look, it went up in value. So Amrav Papa Reisha Mashkachsa Bein De Pitma Petume Bein De Shivcha Memela. The Reisha is talking about however it went up in value, whether it went up in value through the investment of the Nizik or whether it just went up in value because of market fluctuations. And and the Chiddush of the Reisha is when it went up in value just down because of a market fluctuation, that you still only pay kashas hanezek, and the mazik cannot say, oh, I wasn't mazik you anything. Seifa lo mishkachas la ela kishapitmo. In the case of the seifa, where the shor of the mazik went up in value, so the it's specifically talking about where it went up in value because of the investment of the mazik, and that's why the nizik doesn't get a portion of that increase. But in the case of the seifa, had it gone up in value just because of a market fluctuation, then in a chinami, the Nizik would also benefit from that change in value. So now the Gemara discusses the first half of the Braisa, when the Shor HaNizik goes up or down in value. So we had said in the Braisa, that if the Shor of the Nizik went down in value after the Negicha, so you pay Kishas Hamad Bedin, meaning that he pays even the decrease in value of the Shor from the Shas HaNegicha until the Shas Hamad Bedin. Well, Kachash Machmas Mai, why did it go down in value? Why did the Shor and Nizik go down in value? Liam the Kachash Machmas Malacha, if it's because the Nizik decided he was going to work the animal to the bone and he's going to get it to do a lot of malacha, and therefore it's been weakened. So then the mazik should be able to say, why should I bear the brunt of that? You're the one that weakened it, so why should I? Meaning, I'll pay for the nezek, but after the nezek, you decide to damage it further by working it to the bone? That's not my business. I shouldn't have to pay for something like that. So Ravashi, that's not why it was kachash. The kachash machas maka. No, it was the negicha that had this cumulative effect on the animal, that there was this immediate effect, and then it continued to weaken and weaken and weaken as a result of the injury. Because the Nizik can say to the Mazik, it's as if the horn of your ox is still dug into my animal, because the injuries it sustained are being exacerbated and getting worse and worse, and therefore you are the Mazik of that as well, and that's why you're going to have to pay for that decrease in value. Okay, so now we move on to the next Mishnah. So now the Mishnah is just going to have a simple machlokes, but not so simple, a machlokas, I shouldn't have said the word simple, a machlokas between Rami and Rabbi Yehuda, how do we calculate the payment of damages when a short time damages? So we'll take a simple case. Shor shav mesayim, shnogach shor shav mesayim. Right? If everything was perfect in the world, then every shor is worth exactly 200 zuz. So one shor that's worth 200 zuz scores another shor that's worth 200 zuz. Veinan ve'liyafaklum. And we keep it really simple. And now the shor that the nizik, the shor nizik is worth 0. So it went from 200 to 0. So Rameir, Al-Zanam, Rameir says, oh, that's exactly what the Torah was talking about when it says, Umachras HaShorachai, V'chatz was Kaspo, that you take the value of the Shor HaMazik, you split it in half, and that's what you pay to the Nizik. So Amalei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, V'chein Halacha, meaning there's no doubt that that is the Halacha, that if I did 200 zuz worth of damage, and my Shor is worth 200 zuz, that you will get half of the value of my shor. Of course, that's the halacha. It's just not what the pasuk is talking about. Because kiyamto machras hashor achai v'chatz was kaspo, that makes sense with that phrase of the pasuk, that you sell the living shor, the mazik, and you split the value of the mazik. But v'lo kiyamto, but it does not explain v'gamas hames yechtzun, that you also split the nizik, because the mace is not worth anything in this case. V'eza, so what's the case of the, meaning it can't be when the Torah says, oh, and split the shor and nizik as well, that it's not about a case where the shor and nizik isn't worth anything. Because half a zero is zero, and it doesn't make sense that you'd call that splitting anything. So v'eza, what is the case that the Torah is actually talking about? Ze shor shava masayim, shnug shor shava masayim, but here's the change. It's a case of a 200 zuz shor gores another 200 zuz shor, but now the nevela is still worth something. It's still worth 50 zuz. So it turns out that I did $150 worth of damage, and therefore, as a shor tam, I'm going to have to lose out $75. So now, shazen notel chatzi hachay v'chatzi ames, v'zen notel chatzi hachay v'chatzi ames. So how do I cheshbon the $75 that I owe you? Do we say that I pay you $75 from my own shor, or do we say, no, here's what we're going to do. I'll pay you $100 from my own shor, but you're going to pay me $25 back from your shor, meaning we split both shvarim. So that's how it turns out to be a $75 payment, and that's the case that the Chumash was talking about. So the Gemara is going to discuss l'may nafkamina, meaning either way, at the end of the day, the Mazik pays the Nizik $75. However you want to say, I give you a $75 check, or I give you a $100 check, and you give me back a $25 check, who cares? At the end of the day, it's $75. So the Gemara is going to have two suggested nafkaminas. But first, Tana Rabbanan, we have a Brisa that elaborates over here. Shor Shav Masayim, Shor Shav Shav Masayim, you have a 200 Zuz Shor, of course, another 200 Zuz Shor, Venevel, you have a Chumishim Zuz, and the Nevela is worth 50, so it's a total of $150 worth of damage. Zen notel chatzi achai v'chatzi ames, v'zen notel chatzi achai v'chatzi ames. They split both the surviving shor as well as the dead shor. V'zeu shor amar b'Torah, and that's the case of shor that it says in the Torah. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That is Rabbi Yehuda's position as it was expressed in the Mishnah as well. Remeir Omer. Ein zeu shor ha'amor b'Torah. Remeir responds back. Here's what the Brisa adds. That's not the case that the Torah is talking about. The Nizik is not taking half of the Dmei HaShor HaChai, which is Mei HaZuz, because he's taking the Nevela for himself. So he's only been damaged by 150 Zuz. So he takes 75 Zuz from the Dmei HaShor HaChai, which is half of the Nezek. And the Torah says, Umachra HaShor HaChai v'chatzu es kaspo. Ella, rather, the Shor that the Torah is talking about is what I said. Shor Shav Masayim, Shor Shav Masayim, ve'ein anevela yafa klum. A $200 shor gores another $200 shor. The shor and nizik is worth zero. Al zeinam or machras shor chayv chatzos kaspo. And that's what the Torah says, that they split the shor hamazik in half, and each one takes half of the value. Elama ani mekayim v'gamis hamesiach tzun. Aye, but you tied it on me. How do I then tie up the second half of the pasuk where it says that you split the mace as well? If the mace is zero, what's that about? So that's pachas. That we evaluate how much of the shor, how much the shor went down in value through the misa, and you pay that of, you pay half of that, and that tashlum comes from the guf of the chai, meaning you sell the shor achai and you pay using the money from the proceeds of the sale of the living shor. So now the Gemara tries to explain what exactly the machlokas is between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Michti bein Rameir, bein Rabbi Yehuda, hay meves from chamish shakel, hay meves from chamish shakel. Either way, in the end of the day, they both end up with $125 of value, right? If my $200 shor gored your $200 shor, and now your $200 shor is only worth 50 because it's dead, and the nevela is only worth 50, so I did $150 worth of damage. I pay you 75. So I started with the $200 shor. I gave up $75. I'm left with $125 of value. You started with the $200 shor. You're left with with 50, plus you're going to get another 75, you'll be left with $125 of value. Why does it matter whether I just write you a check for $75 or whether I write you a check for $100 and you write me back a check for another $25? You reimburse another $25. So what's the nafkamina between them, whether they're just making the entire payment from the Shor HaChai or they're splitting both Shvarim? So Amarava Pchas Nevela Ikabinai. The nafkamina between them is where the Nevela goes down in value at the time of the Amad Bedin, and now it's worth less than it was worth Bishas Negicha. So Rameir says the Mazik doesn't get anything from the Demei HaNevela. Pchas Nevela Denizikavi. Whatever the Nevela went down in value, that's the loss of the Nizik. And the Nizik will take the Nevela and he'll get a $75 check from the Mazik, and that's it. And even if the Nevela is worth $5 now, it doesn't make a difference. He's only getting a $75 check. Meaning the Nizik is not necessarily ending up with $125 of value. Rabbi Yehuda says that the Mazik takes half of the value of the Nevela, and therefore Pchas Nevela the Mazik Avipalga. The Mazik loses just as much as the Nizik with the Nevela going down in value, because each of them just takes half of the surviving Shar and half of the dead Shar. So I'm like, Abayi says, wow, if that's the case, Imkein Matsinu Rabbi Yehuda Tam Chamra Mimuad. If you do the math, it's going to turn out that according to Rabbi Yehuda, sometimes a Tam is more Chamra than a Shar Muad. Because when it comes to a Shar Muad, we learned back on Daf Yud that the Nevela belongs to the Nizik, and whatever went down in value after the Negicha is totally the Nizik's loss, and the Mazik is always going to pay just the decrease in value from the Shas HaNegicha, that at the time that my animal damaged your animal, how much did your animal go down in value? If it was $150, I'm writing you a $150 check. Whatever happens afterwards, that's your problem. Whereas by Yashar Tam, Rabbi Yehuda apparently says that the Pchas Nevela, even after the Negicha, the Mazik has to worry about also. And therefore, it turns out that you're more Machmir by a short time than you are by a short mood on the mazik. You're more machmer on the mazik of a short time than you are by a short mood. V'chitei machinami. And maybe you're going to say, okay, so what? So sometimes maybe you could be more machmer on a short time than a short mood. No. So v'chitei machinami. And why would I assume machinami kiditnan? Because we do have another case where we're more machmer by a short time than we are by a short mood. In the Mishnah on Memheim Beis, when it talks about a person who watches his shor with a shmira p'chusa, with a subpar kind of shmira. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer Tam Chayiv Mur Pater. Rabbi Yehuda has such a shita that a short tam is going to be chayiv to pay when it's a shmira p'chusa, and a short mur is pater to pay. Why? So for that you have to learn the sugya on Daf Mem Hey, where it explains that Rabbi Yehuda holds that stam shvarim are b'cheska shimur kaimi, that people normally only use a shmira p'chusa to watch their shvarim. So when the Torah is mechayiv tam, it's mechayiv you to watch a shmira meula. So when the Torah says "V'lo yishmerenu by muad," it's a riboy achar riboy, ein riboy achar riboy ela lema'et. So by a muad, it's only if it was a shmira p'chusa, whereas by a tam, you need a shmira meula. So for whatever reason, we're more machmir on the level of shmira you need for a tam than we are by a muad. Same, d'shamalei the Rabbi Yehuda le'inyan shmira. Yeah, Rabbi Yehuda says he's going to be more machmir by a short tam than by a short muad as far as the level of shmira. Diksivi kray, because it's gzeres hakasav, and that's his way of interpreting the pasuk. But do we ever find that we're going to be more machmer a short time than a short mood as far as payment? That I'm going to end up writing a bigger check when my short time does damage than when my short mood does damage? Vatanya, but don't we learn in Ebraisa? I realize that writing checks is a very outdated reference. But I'm going to make a bigger Zelle payment? Vatanya, but doesn't the Ebraisa say, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, that since it says in the Pasuk, that Yochel Shor Shavaman, you might think that a shor that's worth a 100 zuz, which is now it's the confusing part now is it switches currencies in describing the amounts. So we're going to switch back between zuz and slaim. I don't know why it does that. It's just confusing. So if you have a shard that's shava money, you have a shard that's worth that's worth 25 slaim, a man is 25 slaim, shenag shor shava chamesh slaim, that goes a shard that's worth 5 slaim, vanevela, you have a sela, and the nevela is worth only a sela, so therefore the damage was 4 slaim. So zenot al chati achai v'chati ameis, zenot al chati achai v'chati ameis, each one is going to take half of the chai and half of the Tumeis, and therefore each one is going to end up with 13 slatim of value, 12 and a half slatim from the Dmei HaChai and a half a sela from the Dmei HaMeis, because if the Chai is worth 25 slatim, so we each take 12 and a half, and the Meis is worth one sela, so we're each going to take a half. So it turns out that the Nizik gets more than the damage that was done to him. His shor started out worth 5 slatim, he did 4 slatim worth of damage, and somehow he ends up with 12 and a half slatim. He ends up with 13 slatim. He gets more than 3 times the damage that was done to him. So Amrit, you can't say that. In what way was the Torah mechalik between the din muad and the din tam? La hachmir love or la hakel love? You think the Torah is trying to be more machmir for a muad or more makel for a muad? Have you omer la hachmir love? Obviously, the Torah is trying to tell me that I have to pay more when it's a shor muad. If a muad is never going to pay more than the damage that it did, so of course by a time you're not going to pay more than the damage that it did. So the Gemara takes it as a given that when it comes to payment, you're not going to pay more by a time than by a muad. So it's an absurdity that it's a kal. There's no way. It refers to it as kal, that a time which is kal. So how can it be that according to Rabbi Yehuda, in our case where the pchas went down in value, that when it comes to a short tam, the mazik is going to end up suffering that loss, and shor muad he won't. So Elam Rabbi Yochanan says, you know what? It has to be that the machlok shamei Rabbi Yehuda is actually about a different thing. Nafkamini between Ramei Rabbi Yehuda is about something else. Certainly, if the Nevelu went down in value after the Negicha, that's not the Mazik's loss. It can't be the Mazik's loss, because we can't be more Machmir on a Shar Tam than we would be on a Shar Muad. So rather, Shevach Nevela Ikibinayu. Nafkamini between them is not where the Nevelu went down in value, it's where the Nevelu went up in value. And at the Shas of Madu Bedina, it was worth more than at the Shas of Negicha. The Marsav, Rabbi Meir holds, the Mazik has no partnership in that Nevela. And therefore, the Nizik is the one that benefits from his dead shor going up in value. And the Mazik is going to pay from the Guf Hashor HaMazik based on what the Nevela was worth, Pishas Negicha. And Umar Sava, whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds, Palga. Just the Mazik has a Shutfas in that Nevela, and therefore he gets half of the Shevach. The same way that the Nizik does. Behind the Kakash of Rabbi Yehuda, and now we understand why Rabbi Yehuda had a difficulty, because Hashta da Amrit Chas Rachmani Lavi de Mazik, since we're saying that the Torah is having Rachmanis on the Mazik, the Shakel B'Shivcha, that he gets to take half of the increase in value of the Nevela. So Yachal Shor Shav Chamish Shlam Shnog Shor Shav Mana. So now what would happen in the following case, that you have a Shor that's worth 5 Slaim, that Gore is a Shor that's worth 25 slatim. Again, let's see, just use slatim as the base, as the currency. Vanevela yafach chamishim zuz, and then the nevela is worth 12 and a half slatim afterwards. So you're going to say zenot al chatzi achai v'chatzi ames v'zenot al chatzi achai v'chatzi ames, that they'll split both animals, and each one is going to take 12 and a half slatim from the live animal and 6 and a quarter slatim from the dead animal. So we'll turn out that, I'm sorry, 2.5 slaim from the live animal, because it's only worth 5. So 2.5 slaim from the live animal and 6.25 slaim from the dead animal. So by making a mashut for the nevela, the mazik benefits from his shor doing a hezek. That's absurd. Meaning I had $100 in my bank account before my shor did damage. Now my shor did damage and I end up with $200 in my bank account. How does that work? So Amr, Teichel Matzinu Mazik Niskar, Shazen Niskar. Where do we ever find that the Mazik is going to benefit? Where this guy is now going to benefit? V'omer, and in addition to that, another raya that you can't say that is because it says by Tashlumei Shor Muad, when it comes to the payment of a Shor Muad, the damages, Shalem Yishalem, it says. It says Shalem Yishalem. So from the fact that the Torah uses a double expression, shalem yishalem, we learn that even by a short time that damages, that bailim mishalmin, that the balei ashor amazik is going to pay, but v'ein bailim notlin, the bailim of the shor that damages should never make money off of the fact that his animal damaged. So Maiva Omer, why do I need that second raya, that shalem yishalem? We already know misvara, meaning we already said, misvara makes no sense that if my animal harms you, that I'm going to get richer off of that. And by the way, it says shalem yishalem. So I should never be able to get rich off of my animal damaging. Why do I need a pasuk? V'chite mahani milihechadik pseid l'nizik. Because maybe you're going to say without the pasuk that when can the mazik not benefit from the fact that his animal damaged? That's if the nizik is going to lose as a result of that. Avleichadilak pseid l'nizik. But let's say that the nizik isn't going to lose anyway. Kigon shor shavah chamish shlam shnag shor shavah chamish shlam. Like for example, what if you have the following case: a 5 cell ashar gores another 5 cell ashar. So everyone at the beginning, before the story started, everyone had 5 slaim of value. Then vanevelu yafash shloshim zuz. The nevelu went up in value after the negicha. So shakal nami mazik b'shivcha. So maybe I would have thought that in such a case, they could split the demei achai, and the demei and the mazik could take half of the demei ha-mase as well, and they'll both get a little bit more value than they started with. So that's why the omer. That's why I need the second pasuk, the second raya from the pasuk shalem yishalem b'al misham b'im b'al minotin, meaning. First, the Svara tells me that the Bailim can't make money and that the Mazik can't make money while the Nizik loses money. Then Shalem Shalem tells me that even if the Nizik's not going to lose money and his bottom line is still going to be the same or even better than it was before this happened, but it can't be that the Mazik makes money. That's just that's what Shalem Shalem excludes, any possibility of the Mazik making money. So I'm Leir Vach Bar Tachlifa the Rava Im Kain. If Rabbi Yehuda is not going to explain the Pasuk of the Gamas HaMeis Yachatzun, that the of the misa is of the dead shar is split within the live shar, but the pasuk is telling me that the tsura of the tashlumin is by dividing the Dmei Achai and the Dmei Ameis. Matzino Rabbi Yehuda, Tam Shalom Yosef, Michatzi Nezek. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you might have a case where a Tam pays more than Chatzi Nezek. If a shard that's worth 50 zuz, Gor is a shard that's worth 40 zuz, and the Nevela is worth 20 zuz now, so it went down 20 zuz in value, and by splitting the Dmei Achai and the Dmei Ameis, each of them is going to receive 35 zuz, so it turns out that the Mazik ends up paying more than Chatzi Nezek, because the Chatzi Nezek should have only been 10 zuz of payment. They should only pay half. So answer Gemara is that Rabbi Yehuda also holds that when it says Gamas HaMeis Yechzun, that the Pchas Misa Machtzin B'chai, that we evaluate how much the Nevela went down in value from what it was in its lifetime, and you take half of that Pchas from the Sharachai. So the Pasuk is Dafka talking about a case where by splitting the Dmei Sharachai, you're going to get Chatzi Nezek. Not less than Chatzi Nezek and not more than Chatzi Nezek. Minale, how does Rabbi Yehuda, where does Rabbi Yehuda learn that the Pasuk is talking about Dafka in such a case and not like the Pashtos of the Pasuk where we always split the Dmei Achai? So is it from the fact, Mi Vegamas HaMeis Yechzun, from the phrase Vegamas HaMeis Yechzun, Va'afke Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda already used that phrase to tell me that they split the Dmei Achai and the Dmei Ameis in terms of splitting the Shevach. So Im Kain says Gemara, no, if the Pasuk was only telling me that din, that the decrease in value of the mesa is split within the living animal, nichtov kra ve'es ha-mes. My v'gam, shema minatarti. From the extra word v'gam, you can derive two different halachos from that phrase, and therefore the Torah is telling me another din, that the mazik is a shutaf in that which the nevela goes up in value after the shasa hezek. Okay, now a new Mishnah. So the Mishnah is going to, again, go through two cases where a shar is going to be potter, even though an adam would be chayiv, and two cases of the reverse, where an adam would be potter and the shar would be chayiv. Yesh chayiv al maisa shoro, u potter al maisa atzmo. There is such a possibility that a person is going to be chayiv for his shar doing something, but if he, the person, were to do that same thing and cause that same damage, he'd be potter. And there's also potter al maisa shoro, the chayiv al maisa atzmo. There are cases where if a shar were to do something, the owner of the shar is going to be potter for that damage. But if the owner himself were to do that very same thing, he'd be chayiv on the damage. The Melech Shlomo on the Mishnah just wonders, why don't you just say like we normally say, chomer ba'adam mi b'shar and chomer b'shar mi ba'adam? That's the lashon the Mishnah normally uses. So he works on that. Why we would have a strange lashon in this Mishnah? But let's see what these cases are. Ketzad shoro shabiyesh. If my shar causes busha to another person through the damage that it did, pater. I don't pay the chiv boshes for that which was done by a shar. But if the adon is mevayish somebody through damage that he does, chayiv. It's one of the dal dvarim that he's got to pay. Shorosh hasimei asein avdo. If a shar knocks out the eye of my eved, v'hipalashino, or knocks out the tooth of my eved, pater. The bialim does not have to pay for that. Meaning, the bialim does not have to let the eved go free. But v'huch hasimei asein avdo v'hipalashino, chayiv. But if I knock out the eye of my eved or the tooth of my eved, so the pasuk says v'chiyake ish asein avdo asein. That I have to send them free. That's part of the obligation. If my shor wounds my father or mother, chayiv, I have to pay for that wound. But if a guy himself wounds his own father or mother, he's going to be pater because he's chayiv misa and kam lebidrab minei. So he's not going to be chayiv tashlumen when he's chayiv misa. Similarly, if a shor lights something on fire on Shabbos, chayiv, I have to pay for the damages that fire did. But if a guy lights something on fire on Shabbos, pater, he does not have to make a monetary payment because he's chayiv misa for being mechal Shabbos. And once again, we apply the principle that you only get the worst of the two punishments. Okay, but tomorrow we'll begin at the Gemara on the bottom of Lamed Daled Amud Beis. Everyone have a great day.